Good morning, and one word that could sum up yesterday was probably collapse. I'm not just talking about the middle order collapse of Indian cricket team, but also the walls and the dams collapsing across India, from Maharashtra to Mizoram. The only thing that did not collapse was the tree that a really fat Congress worker was holding on to, in order to prevent not the branches from falling in monsoon, but Rahul Gandhi's resignation as Congress president. Now, the man had found a novel way of committing suicide by hanging by the branches, not his neck, but his arms. But no one really gives a damn. And speaking of dams, two people were killed and more than 20 are still missing after heavy rainfall led to a breach in the Tiwari Dam in Maharashtra's Ratnagiri district at around 9:30 p.m. last night. Seven downstream villages have been flooded and at least 12 houses near the dam have been washed away. Well, this was happening in the western part of India, but in northeast, things weren't very different. Three buildings in Mizoram's Aizawl collapsed after a massive landslide on Tuesday evening, leaving at least three dead, including two children. Nine others were injured and have been taken to a hospital nearby, but many people are believed to be trapped under the debris and as a search and rescue operation is underway. Volunteers of the Young Mizo Association, a non-political, non-governmental organization of Mizo people, have also joined the rescue efforts. It is 3rd July 2019, and from a non-governmental organization that is rescuing people, we head to the social organization that is rewarding people for putting people out of their jobs. From today's Indian Express, a group of men went after those they called anti-national and claim they got them arrested, suspended, and in one case fired from a job, won an RSS affiliate's badge of honor for social media journalism. If ever a thing like that existed. Well, RSS awarding for journalism, that to social media journalism, and that to a body whose job is to create narrative around being anti-national and its claim to fame is getting people fired from their job. Well, last Saturday, Clean the Nation, the group which went after them, was honored with the Social Media Pratrakarita Narad Samman instituted by RSS affiliated IBSK or the Indraprastha Vishwa Samvad Kendra. The Narad Samman ceremony for journalism awards was held at the India International Center in New Delhi, where the winners were felicitated in the presence of RSS Joint General Secretary Manmohan Vaidya and Union Minister Smriti Irani. Not surprised at all with Smriti Irani distributing awards for social media journalism that was driven by WhatsApp broadcasting news services and fake social media accounts. Well, the CTN started as a Facebook group formed by nine men on the 15th of Feb, a day after the terror attack on a CRPF convoy in Pulwama took place. Now, most of its activity was over the next 2 days, in which they claim to have drawn over 4,500 members. Well, Facebook and Twitter later repeatedly took down CTN handles, but RSS and Smriti Irani are rewarding them. With so much hatred that these people have against anyone being educated, that the claim to fame of Clean the Nation includes a letter from a Guwahati college suspending an assistant professor, a letter from a Rajasthan university suspending four Kashmiri students, all girls, a Twitter post that led to an arrest in Jaipur, a letter from a Greater Noida engineering college suspending a Kashmiri student, and a Facebook post that led to the arrest of an undergraduate student in Katihar in Bihar. I will only talk about one such case, started by a bunch of IT guys. In one such case of bravery on social media cooked up journalism, an MBA student was suspended from IIMT College of Engineering in Greater Noida for a Facebook post. The student was in Kashmir for a break and told administration that the account was not his because it had a different spelling from his name. Clearly a fake account. The college issued a suspension order, directed the student to lodge an FIR at the police station concerned regarding the hacked social media ID. The student sent a copy of the FIR over WhatsApp to Pachauri, and on 19th of Feb, the police station sent a letter saying that the student was not involved in any kind of supervised criminal activity. The student, however, did not return to college since and missed his examination. Another youth lost, but let's award the WhatsApp fakery. Meanwhile, the center led by the BJP, on Tuesday said the BJP-run Uttar Pradesh government had taken an unconstitutional decision to remove 17 castes from the list of OBCs and label them as SCs, and told the state administration to desist from giving SC certificates to people from these groups. Well, on Monday, BSP Chief Mayawati had alleged that the state government was depriving people of these 17 castes of their right to reservation. However, yesterday, BSP parliamentarian Satish Chandra Mishra raised the issue during Zero Hour in Rajya Sabha and urged the centre to stop the state from going ahead with the decision. And with that, let's head to international news, where the Chinese border police are secretly installing surveillance apps on the phones of visitors and downloading personal information as part of the government's intensive scrutiny of the remote Xinjiang region, according to a revelation by The Guardian, New York Times and several others. The Chinese government has curbed freedoms in the provinces for the local Muslim population, installing facial recognition cameras on streets and in mosques, and repeatedly forcing residents to download software that searches their phones. An investigation by The Guardian and their international partners has found that travelers are being targeted when they attempt to enter the region from neighboring Kyrgyzstan. Border guards are taking their phones and secretly installing an app that extracts emails, text and contacts, as well as information about the handset itself. In good news, two women have won the backing of the EU's leaders to head the European Commission and the European Central Bank, breaking with more than 60 years of male dominance at the top of the bloc's institutions. After 3 days of tortuous negotiations, Germany's Defense Minister Ursula von der Leyen received the support of heads of state and governments to replace Jean-Claude Juncker as president of the Commission in Brussels. And the French managing director of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, will move to Frankfurt to take over from Mario Draghi as the first female president of the ECB once it is formally signed off by the Eurozone group. And not so good news, an airstrike late on Tuesday hit a detention center for mainly African migrants in the Tajora suburb of the Libyan capital of Tripoli, killing at least 40 people and wounding 80, according to the health officials there. The majority of those killed are reported to be African migrants. In recent years, Libya has been a key springboard for migrants seeking to travel to Europe. The country has been torn by violence and division since longtime ruler Muammar Gaddafi was deposed and killed in 2011 by the American and European powers. Well, that is a wrap from me, but the better wrap is definitely from Nestlé, as the Swiss company rolled out paper packaging for its flavored milk powder Nesquik in the first quarter of 2019 and will introduce paper-based pouches for its Milo health drink in 2020. Meanwhile, Nestlé has said that the new snack bar wrapper, composed of paper and a water-based coating, is to guarantee the same shelf life as plastic, could be used on its existing high-speed lines that can seal up to 500 snack bars per minute. So as you always say no to plastic, hatred and to social media journalism, especially to organizations awarding these bodies. So stay safe and healthy until tomorrow. Goodbye.